Say too, for this Institute, Summer Bible Institute, there will be Children's Church, so you note that. If you're wondering what to do with your children. All right, one of the things I always enjoy is names. And if you turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 22, while you turn in there, I enjoy names and making nicknames up and joking around about names. You know, like somebody named Chester Drawers. Or I know one time I went somewhere, this person in the church, this is years ago, and please don't be offended, I'm going to mention a particular group, so if you work for this, it's not nothing wrong with that. But this person worked for Amway, if you ever heard of Amway. And so they asked me to go somewhere, and I said, does this have anything to do about Amway? And they looked me right in the face and said, no. So I was trying to be nice, and so I went to this meeting. When we get there, the meeting was about getting involved in Amway. And you know, why did they do that to me? So I decided to have some fun. So they had these stickers, you know, hello, my name is. And so on my sticker, I wrote Bill Fold. That's my name. And so half the people, just to show you, they paid no attention. Hey, Bill, it's so good to see you here. And I just had the greatest time. And then some people would get, you know, start laughing about it. There's a lot of good, funny names like that. And it is a lot of fun. My family has fun doing that. We have fun just with little nicknames for each other. We got in one session about different butter names. We were eating dinner one night, and so they started around the table. My oldest daughter was Whip Butter. She liked Whip Butter, and so we called her Whip Butter. And my son Trent, he was Baby Butter instead of Baby Brother, I guess. I don't know. He was Baby Butter. And my daughter Allison was Honey Butter. And my daughter Katie was Cinnamon Butter. And so, and then Diane, you know, they were trying to compliment their mom, how slim she was. She was Stick of Butter. And mine was Tub of Butter. So I don't know what that way they were trying to tell me anything, that I was a tub of butter. And we had fun. My daughter Katie, if you don't know, she, Katie Steele, her and Caleb are having another baby. And of course, they already have Lola, sweet little girl. And this is going to be a boy. And they chose out the name Walker, but we said, listen, I have some good ideas for names. Why don't you name him Manna? Man of Steel, that would be his name. Or Stainless, that would, you know, he'd really, everybody remember that was Stainless Steel. You know, I always told him, if you have another girl, name her Robin. You know, Robin Steel. Rob and Steel. Okay, thank you. Brian was looking at me like, I don't get it. But he did get it. But a name is an important thing. And a lot of times when we think about names, it makes us think about that person. For instance, you know, a classic one that everybody always does is when you see somebody says Hitler. You know, that's a favorite name for people to throw out to insult somebody. But it is an insulting name, right? You think of all the horrible things that he did. You know, if you think about somebody from the Bible, you say Moses, you think, you know, you get a picture. This is what this guy did. This was his character. This is what he's like. A lot of times we hear names that's the case. Something about them, maybe something they said, something they've done, just from hearing their name. In this verse in the Bible, look in Proverbs 22, look at verse 1. It's very interesting here. It says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it says here, to have a good name is a good thing. It has value to it. If I were to mention your name, what would people think? What would come to their mind? You know, sometimes, you know, because of choices people make, you know, when their name is heard, they go, ooh, you know, they've done this. They've said that. And their name, it brings up certain thoughts. really, this what this equates to is a good name is like having a good testimony, right? And it is important because it doesn't impact just a person. The fact that, hold your place in Proverbs. We're going to look at several verses in Psalms and Proverbs tonight. But look over in Luke chapter 6. Now, some people get, I think, confused about this verse, what it's saying. But it's telling us something about having a good testimony and having a good name. Luke chapter 6. And look in verse 35. Here is part of the Beatitudes, and it says in verse 35, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind and unthankful to the evil." What's confused about this verse many times, they think, well, if I do these good things, that's what gets me to heaven. And that's not what the verse is saying. It says when we do what we ought to do and act like we ought to act, someone would say, hey, that is a Christian. That is someone who's part of God's family. Isn't that what people make the mistake a lot of times? They see someone not living right and go, they're not a Christian. Well, you don't know that. But you can see the behavior and go, if they're a Christian, they're not living right. And if you see they're living right, that what would that lead you to think? Well, there's something different about that person. And so what do people think about when they hear your name? And it's a very important thing. It's a good testimony for Christ. And the key thing for us to think about tonight is how valuable that is. It says here again, look at if we're back in Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So if you could choose great riches or a good name, the Bible says it's a much better thing to have a good name. To have a good testimony, it's much more valuable. It's better than great riches. And you ever heard the expression, someone's making a name for themselves? You know, how we live our lives, we're making a name for ourselves. Are we living like when someone hears our name that they say, oh, those are Christian. That's a Christian person. It's a Christian man. That's a Christian lady. It's a Christian young person. Because how we live our lives and what we do. And it's very important. So again, what's the testimony of your name? If someone were to say, you know, whatever your name might be, what do people think about? A couple points I want to make tonight. We're not going to keep you long tonight. The first one is this. A good name, again, is better than great riches. A good name is better than great riches. What do riches mean to you? What do riches mean to you? Does it mean money or items of value like jewels or gold or silver? Maybe you like a fancy car. Or whatever it might be that someone would equate as being something that's very valuable. Well, the Bible says, and the writer of Proverbs says, that a good name is better than that. How many here would be happy if you walked out and there was a new Corvette that you could drive home? Brother Gilly, would you like to drive a Corvette home? Would you drive it? Yes. Amen. If somebody pulls a Corvette up and hands me the keys, I'd be glad to drive it home. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself. But if, hey, listen, Pastor Rick, you can either have a good name, a good testimony, or you could have the new Corvette that's sitting outside. The Bible says the good name is much more valuable. And it's a very important thing. It's better than all of those things. It's better than anything that you, in a sense, a person could put value on. And again, that's what the Bible says. Now, again, we need to remind you that a good name is not a neat name. It's not talking about having a neat name. I try to collect names, and there's some names that are real, that are neat. Paige Turner. You know, that's a girl named Paige Turner. That to me, that would be cool to have a name like that, because it really, I went to school with a guy named Robert Christmas. His last name was Christmas. I always used to tell him, don't get married to a girl named Mary, because she would become Mary Christmas. And that would be really neat. What's your name? Merry Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas to you, but what's your name? Those are neat names. One of my favorite names was a football player played many years ago. He played high school football in Florida. He played, I think, for Oklahoma in college, and I don't think he ever made it to pros. But I always thought this was the neatest name. His name was Elvis Peacock. Isn't that a neat name? That's just a neat name. I like that name. Another guy is a real name. I thought, but you know, this would really catch people's eye. A guy named Tommy Turnipseed. Now, how many would agree that that's a neat name? That's Tommy Turnipseed. And of course, there's all the fake names, which we already told you, Ben Dover, and his wife Eileen Dover. So a good name is not a neat name or a funny name. And again, I collect these. You got Chuck Roast and Rusty Pipes, and you got Tom Katz and his wife Kitty. You got Tom and Kitty Katz and their daughter Allie Katz, and another son named Bob Katz. So there's all kinds of neat names, but that's not what a good name is. It's not a neat name. It's not a funny name. But a good name has great value. My challenge tonight, what do people think about when they hear my name? And so the question begs itself, how do I get a good name? You need to get this down tonight. Three things that you can do to have a good name. Very important. Number one, by doing good things. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we're going to turn a lot, and I'm going to go fast. And if I go too fast for you to get to the verse and I read it and talk about it, just try to jot it down. You can look at it later, as I have more verses here than I could really turn to. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, of course, verse 8 and 9, very famous verses for salvation. And then in verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So doing good is what God saved us to do. Did God save us to be a gossip? Did he save us not being truthful with our words? No, he saved us to do what? To do good. And that's what we ought to set out to do. In fact, look into Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. All your T's in your New Testament are together in alphabetical order. So Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. Titus chapter 2. Look in verse 14. It says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." That means a people of his very own, zealous of good works. Doing good is what God saved us to do, to live for him, to serve him. And so part of having a good name is realizing that's what God saved me to do good. Now, I don't know if you really realize that the Bible's loaded with things that are good to do. Let's just look at a few of them. Back to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 73. Certainly we're just going to brush over these. There's so many things the Bible tells us that are good to do. But we just want to mention a few of these. So you get a good name by doing good things. Here's the first one. Psalm 73. And in verse 28. It says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It's a good thing to draw near to God. How do you draw near to God? Well, you pray. You obey his word. And as you fellowship with him and obey his word and allow his word to speak to you, it draws you closer to him. That's a good thing. That's why we emphasize Sunday school lesson today about prayer. That helps you draw nigh to God. We have you open your Bible. Reading your Bible is a way to help you draw nigh to God. Those are good things to do. And it's a good thing to draw nigh to God. Look in Psalms 92. Psalms 92, just a few pages over. Psalms 92. In Psalms 92, look in verse 1. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." So what's a good thing to do? Is being thankful. It's good to be thankful. We ought to be thankful people. When someone thinks of you, you go, you know, I did this for them and they never said a word to me. Now, you know, that you could say, well, that's their problem. But, you know, what a good thing to be a thankful person. Somebody does something for you, tell them thank you. That's a good testimony. And you have, when your name's mentioned, that they're so thankful, they're so appreciative of what people do for them. So you want to get a good name? Be a thankful person. That's a good thing to do. Look over in Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. In verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So we need to get along. Right? Be patient. Is everybody going to think the same? No, they're not. Sometimes there's things you might disagree with someone here at the church, but we need to work together in unity. When someone thinks of the people of First Baptist, what kind of name do we have as a church? As a church where the people are fighting and not getting along, or a church where there's unity? So if you want a good name as an individual or a church, it's good to work together in unity. And I'm not talking about compromising doctrine, but I'm talking about serving the Lord together and getting along. And what a wonderful testimony that is. Look in Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Just a few more pages over. This is a classic. Don't miss this one. Psalms 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is present and praise is comely. And so, you know what a good thing to do is to sing. When we're talking about like singing is when we come together. How many say, I cannot sing? I sound like bacon frying in the pan, or my voice is like the ocean. It's never above sea level. Whatever you feel about your voice. But it's a good thing to sing. Pastor Bloom claims he cannot sing, but he can. He can sing. It doesn't sound good, but he can sing. It didn't say sing good. It just says sing. All right. And that's a good thing to do for our church. As far as like the name of our church, if people would come and say, man, listen to them sing. They're all singing together, and some people are actually singing parts, and it sounds so beautiful. It's a good thing to do that. That's something good you can do. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, don't turn there, says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We need to search our Bibles. We want a good name. Let's search the Bible and see the good things that God says we ought to do, so that people, when they hear our name, they go, hey, that's a child of God. That's someone who loves the Lord. And let's do good. You also can get a good name by saying good things. You ever realize that we need to say good things? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the what? To edifying, encouraging one another. And we ought to work real hard at being an encourager. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. By saying good things. You know, one good thing that we need to say is the truth. Be a person of the truth. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, it says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And so, when someone hears your name, they go, well, they're always kind of fudging on what's true. Tell the truth. Be honest. Be honest in your business dealings. Be honest in what you do. I appreciate my wife so much. We were talking about she was out lunch somewhere with her sister, who's the pastor's wife. And she's the assistant pastor wife. And they went to Cracker Barrel and they walked out and left the store without paying. They didn't pay. But when they recognized that, they immediately turned back and paid. So I said, yeah, I did that one time. I went and got me a thirst buster at the Circle K over here. And I go in there all the time to get me a thirst buster. And I got one and I walked out without paying for it. My mind was on what I was doing. And when I got back to church, I realized that I hadn't paid for it. So When I went back the next day, and my wife goes, "The next day? Why didn't you go right back right then?" And I said, "Well, it was like 85 cents. I thought they could survive a day if they were out 85, and I just really didn't have time to go back." But let's be honest. I don't want somebody to think of my name and go, "Oh, they just fudge the truth all the time." Have you ever known somebody like that? You really couldn't count on what they were saying. That's not a name to have. So tell the truth. Then look in verse 25. "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Encourage each other. Encourage each other. I don't know if you some people are real good about noticing this about people, but there'll be people who come to church who are really hurting. Sometimes, you know, if you're like me, I'm oblivious sometimes, and, you know, well, they look like that all the time. But some people can pick that up. Hey, there are people that hurt. You know what? It's such a big help. Just an encouraging word. "Hey, we're so glad you're here. Hey, we love you. Is there anything I can do to help you?" And just that's to be, have the name of an encourager. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony that is. So encourage one another. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Now, what do you mean? You ever heard that expression, if you can't say something good, don't say anything? You ever heard that? Some people get around that. You know, they go, "Oh, you know," like they'll compliment, but it's really an insult. "Oh, you don't sweat much for a fat girl." You know, that's what they'll say. You know, I know there's a couple more like that, and my mind's just gone blank. But they'll just, you don't, you know, you it's like Eddie Haskell. Let's put it that way. You know who Eddie Haskell is? It'd be better not to say anything. And, you know, don't. If you can't say something good here, when we are not careful with our words, not only do they hurt other people, but they'll hurt us. And when we're insulting with our words, or if we're not honest with our words, people are going to say, when they hear Rick Abert, they're going to say, you can't believe anything he tells you. Or he would insult you. And we don't want that. We want to have a good name. We want to be a good testimony. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. This is the same thing, the same principle. Verses 27 and 28 says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So we can have a good name by having, by doing good things, but also by saying good things. Here it says, you ought to be careful with your words. It'll have an impact on your testimony. We used to have a fact that New Hearts just left, and they had their oldest boy, Eric. And when Eric was in school, our Christian school, he wouldn't say much. He was very quiet. And that's very impactful. You know, if you kind of guard what you say and be careful with your words like that, you never make the mistake of saying something you shouldn't say and hurting your testimony and hurting your name or your family's name. And so be careful with your words. I always used to, when I worked at the sporting goods company and I was a buyer, I bought footwear, athletic footwear. And sometimes the salesmen would bring their big bosses in. The big bosses are just, you know, they want to really pressure you to buy their particular products. And so they would say all this stuff. They'd show these shoes to me, and I would sit there and not say a word. Wouldn't ask any questions, wouldn't do anything. And it would drive them wild. It would just drive them wild. And he says, will they get through with their presentation? Because they're just waiting for whatever you say. They have an answer for it, if you know what I mean. They got, you know, you got to buy this, you got to do that. And they wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't say anything. And then at the end, they go, "Well, you're not saying anything." And I say, "Well, you know, the Bible says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is considered wise." I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. I tell them that right to their face. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. Just tell me what you got. And of course, I'd laugh at them and smile so they wouldn't be offended. But we need to be careful with our words because they can impact your good name. Look over in Proverbs 26, one more. So to get a good name, you need to do good things. That's what God saved us to do. And to have a good name, we need to say good things. In Proverbs 26, verse 22, it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. You know, we shouldn't be gossiping or slandering about people. Shouldn't do that anyway. But when you do that, guess what it affects? That affects your testimony. That affects your name. And so the question is, do you have a good name, which is of great value? Or do you want to have a name of, oh, that's someone who would talk about me behind my back, that would say something about me that's not true? And so you want a good name. You got to do good things, and you got to say good things. And one more thing you need to do to have a good name is by having good motives. By having good motives. Why do you want to have a good name? Well, Proverbs tells us we'll have great riches if we have a good name. That's very valuable. But why do we want to do good things and to say good things? And we ought to do that because doing good is right. It's as simple as that. It's what God saved us to do. And we should do it because it's right. We should do it because it pleases God. You know, why do I want a good name? Well, the Bible says it's valuable. But the truth of the matter is I want to have a good testimony for Christ. I want to please the Lord. And here's the problem. Look, don't fall in this trap. I have the wrong motives to have a good name. You don't do that so you can get ahead in life. Again, we mentioned earlier Eddie Haskell. How many even understand who Eddie Haskell is? There's a show on TV called Leave It to Beaver. In fact, I just noticed somewhat recently he has passed away in real life. I don't know what his real name was. But I don't know how to describe him. I always describe someone like that as a weasel. You know, he was a weasel. But he would come in and, you know, oh, Mrs. Cleaver, what a nice sweater you have on today. Or how nice your house looks today. And as soon as he was out of earshot, he'd say, let's ditch your parents. They're, you know, squares. You know, he'd talk to the Wally and the Beaver and just say all kinds of mean things. But he was just like a big phony. Why was he doing that? So Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver would think he was a good guy. You know, you don't do good things so people think you're a good guy. Now, hopefully that they will think that. But you're being good not because you're trying to get ahead or get something up on someone, but because it's right to do. And we want to please the Lord. You don't try to do good things to try to look good. You know, you don't do certain things on Sunday so I look good here at church. You know, and people, I'll fool people. You don't do good to fool people. You shouldn't be doing good to make money. That's all wrong motives. Our motive to have a good name is that God says it's very valuable, but the motive should push us is the fact that it pleases the Lord. It's just right to do. And it's what a wonderful thing to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify who? Not us. We're not doing that. Some people will do that. If you do good things and say good things, people will try to heap glory on you. It's your opportunity to say, no, all the credit goes to God. All the glory goes. I'm not doing this just because I'm trying to make you think I'm wonderful. I'm doing this because I want to please the one who loves me and died for me. And so you have the right motives. You do the good things, you say good things, and you have good motives. Now, there's often a question. I think for certain people, maybe I know, my name is not good in their eyes. What do I do? How do I handle that? Three things you can do real quickly here. Number one, make it right with God. Remember, He saved you to do good. So if you said some things or done some things that are not honest, who should you first make that right with? Well, God. God didn't save you to do that. He saved you to do good. And so when we do things that are that are wrong, that would bring a bad reflection on the name of Christ. If we do things that bring bad reflection on our name, you ever think about the things we do and say? They don't just reflect on us in our name. It also reflects on our family's names. It reflects on our church's name. And so make it right with God. He said to do good. Lord, I wasn't honest here. And need to be specific what it is and make it right with Him. Number two, if you can, make it right with others. If you gossip about someone and it hurt their feelings, if you were insulting to someone and hurt their feelings, say, I am sorry. Make it right with them. Please forgive me. That's a good start. And make it right with God. And if you can, make it right with others. Number three, start from where you're at, where you are. If you've had a life of, if someone mentions your name, you've done these things over the years, that could be very discouraging. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged. And just, hey, I haven't been honest the way I have. I haven't, I've been too much of a gossiper, listened to gossip or slander, and I haven't, whatever it might be. And Lord, please forgive me for that. Name it by name. And start from where you're at. You say, well, I spend a long time living that way, doing that. Well, just get started. Like we said this morning, start where you are. Start where you are. Just get started on making things right. Don't let Satan discourage you. Don't let Satan discourage you. You know, a lot of times because of something somebody's done in their life and it's kind of been a blight on their name and their family's name, Satan will say, hey, God can't use you. God, your family can never really amount to anything for the Lord because of the things you've done. Don't let him discourage you. If you made it right for God, God's going to forgive you. Isn't he faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us? And so, if we want to start to have a good name, because it's right to do, and it's a good testimony for the Lord, just don't discourage yourself. Be patient. Go out and meet new people. I'm not saying go leave the church. Okay, that's not what I mean. Just meet new people. Do what's right with them. Do good things. Say good things. And the people will see the difference on the outside. Now, some people might struggle. They might not ever trust you or forgive you. That's okay. Start from where you are and be different in how you live your life. And if you think, well, if nobody's really seen any difference, God will see the difference, even if others don't. Have a good name. A good name is not a silly name or a funny name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Hey, you want to be rich? How many here want to be rich? I heard a story about this fellow was an older fellow and he played the lottery. And it comes back to his family that he had won the lottery. But they were scared to tell him because they thought he'd like have a heart attack or something. He'd get so excited about winning the lottery. So they decided to call the preacher up and told him, preacher, could you come over and tell him that he won the lottery? And so the preacher comes over and he's trying to think of a way to get into it, right? And he says, Bill, that was a guy's name, Bill. Bill, what would you do if you won the lottery? And Bill says, if I won the lottery, I'd give half of it to the church. And the preacher fell over of a heart attack. Some people like great riches, but there's no better riches than having a good name, having a good testimony. Now, you can say, why is that better? Because it's right to do. It's the least we can do. But God will honor that. He'll honor that. And he'll reward you for that one day. And so we just got to determine, what do we think is truly valuable? Is my testimony the most valuable thing? Or is, you know, saying and doing what I want? And I encourage you to try, and with God's help, to have the name that you ought to have. That when your name's mentioned, people go, well, that's an honest person. That's someone I can count on. That's someone who always has a kind word for people when they hear your name. That's someone who is a Christian. That's someone who is what a Christian should be, whether they really understand what a Christian should be or not. Do we have a good name? Now, I don't claim to be a poet, Tennyson or somebody. Is Tennyson a poet? I think he's a poet. But I wrote a poem, and I want to close with that tonight. And so here it is. What would be better in this world? Perhaps money or power or fame. But there is a treasure with worth beyond measure, and that's when we have a good name. What would it be like to have coffers of gold? I guess life would not be the same. But millions in gold have no value at all if I do not have a good name. Do others we think of as we go through our life, do our words and our actions cause blame? It reflects on the Lord and also our family if we do not have a good name. So if we could choose, as Proverbs has said, the greatest thing we could gain is a precious jewel that could never be bought, the treasure of a good name. What's your name? If someone says your name, what do they think of? And you just say, well, maybe I haven't been as good as some of those things as it ought to be. Get started now and have a good name. Not because you're trying to get ahead of anybody, but it's right to do. It's what God saved you to do. And hopefully, as your name's mentioned, people go, hey, that person is a Christian. That's someone who is really serious. Church is not a pretend thing for them, but they're serious about doing what they ought to do. And I hope that's my desire for my name. And I hope that's the desire for your name to be also. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So I hope you get a hold of what's truly valuable tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for your patience tonight. Not an earth-shattering message, but an important one for us, because it really is a choice. Do I want to kind of do what I want and say what I want, but not regard to my testimony for Christ? Or would I really, I might do those things because I want someone to think good of me, or I want to get ahead in life. I want to get an advantage over someone. Those are all wrong motives. We ought to want a good name because it's what God saved us to do good. So let's do the things that are good. Let's say the things that are good. And the benefit to us is having a good name, a good testimony. That pleases the Lord, and it's a valuable treasure, more valuable than anything you could gain in this life. And so I hope that's your desire. I know I look around, I think I recognize everyone here. You all have a testimony of knowing for sure you're going to heaven when you die. But if you're listening to us on live stream, being good won't get you to heaven. You could have the best reputation in the world, and goodness won't get you to heaven, because goodness will not pay the debt we owe God. And because we're sinners, we owe a debt to God. We're not perfect. We've all done wrong. And God says there's a penalty for that. And the penalty is not being good, not being water baptized, not coming to church. The penalty is death. And that's what Jesus came and did for us. He died for us and paid that sin debt for us. He died in our place. It was our substitute. And he offers eternal life as a gift if we'll put our faith and trust in him as our Savior, as our only hope for heaven. So if you've never trusted Christ, take God at his word. I could not give that to you or promise that to you, but that's God's promise from the Bible. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you never put your faith in Christ alone to save you and give you eternal life, I encourage you to do that even tonight. And if you have trusted Christ, what kind of name do you have? Do you have a good name? Do you have a good testimony for the Lord? It's very valuable. It pleases the Lord. It's what He saved you to do. And so you say, well, my name, I've let some things in my life that shouldn't be there. So maybe the way I've spoken, maybe the way I've conducted myself, make that right with God. God, that's wrong. And He'll forgive sin for Christians. He's faithful and just to do so. If you can, if it's possible, make it right with the person that maybe you hurt with your, if it was an untruth or a slander or a gossip or something insulting to them that hurt them. Make it right with them and just get started afresh and anew to work on having a good name, because it's a treasure that's you cannot put a worth on it. It's invaluable. And it's a wise choice for each one of us. Father in heaven, we do thank You for that verse, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Father, help us really grasp that in our life, that serving You and doing what's right, there's nothing better than that in life, and that is of great worth. Father, forgive us when we put value on things that may be not necessarily wrong in themselves, but we think they're so important. And to have a good testimony is much more important than those things that the world deems as valuable and important. So, Father, we just help us have that desire. Father, help us just be honest with You and honest with ourselves. And, Father, if things are not right with You, to make them right. And Father, we thank You for each one that came out tonight. We just ask You the blessing for the faithfulness. Help them get home safely tonight, Lord. And thank You for Your love, and thank You for Christ dying for us that we might have eternal life. And Father, we just pray all these things in Your precious Son's name. Amen. Again.